الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذین اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم ولقد آتینا لقمان الحکمة ان اشکر للہ ومن یشکر فإنما یشکر لنفسه ومن کفر فإن اللہ غنی حمید وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأت بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور ولا تسعر خدك للناس ولا تمش في الأرض برحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه امين يا رب العالمين As I told you before, selected course of study of the Quran, which is being discussed in this series of lectures, it consists of six parts. In the first part, there are four lessons. Each one of them is very comprehensive, which gives all the prerequisites or conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down in His book, Al-Quran, for salvation on the Day of Judgment. That is why the starting point of this selected course of study is Suratul Asr. Because in the most concise form, in the shortest number of words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in this surah, that no man can hope salvation and saving from the fire of hell of the Day of Judgment who doesn't fulfill four conditions. That is Iman, Al-Amal Salih, Al-Tawasi Bil-Haq, Al-Tawasi Bil-Sabr. I gave you the decisive verdict of Allama Fakhruddin al-Razi, rahimahullah. I quoted his wordings. اعلم أن هذه الآية فيها وعيد شديد لأن الله حكم بالخسار على جميع الناس إلا من كان آتيا بهذه الأشياء الأربعة وهي الإيمان والعمل الصالح والتواصي بالحق والتواصي بالصبر ودل ذلك أن النجاة معلقة بمجموع هذه الأشياء Salvation depends upon all these four things. The same four things we found in the second lesson, Ayat al-Birr. And there we found that Iman, now some details of the articles of Iman are given. مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ In the same way, three main branches of Al-Amalu Salih. Number one, charity, sympathy with fellow beings. وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب. نمبر ٹو دی مورز آف ورشپ واقام الصلاة وآت الزکاة. نمبر تھری ہیومن ڈیلنگز ٹو بی اسٹریم لائنڈ بائی ون تھنگ اینڈ دیٹ از فلفلنگ آف پرومسز اینڈ ایگریمنٹس والموفون بعہدہم اذا عاہدوا. دین التواصی بالحق والتواصی بالصبر دے ور گروپ ٹوگیدر والصابرین فی البأساء والضراء وحین البأس. دی سیم فور تھنگز وی شوڈ بی اسٹڈنگ اگین in this ruku number 2 of Surah Al-Luqman. And here I propose to give you the translation of the whole passage first. Previously I read out to you the translations by 3 authors or authorities, they may be called. Muhammad Marmaduke Pikthal and Allama Muhammad Asad and Maulana Maududi. I have consulted those translations now because the passage is quite big. We don't have time that we should read out all the passages, all the translations. I have consulted them. Because I don't claim to have any in-depth knowledge of English language. I have never studied English literature. I have never stayed for some long time in any of the Western countries. So I'm not very confident of my English. That is why I am consulting so many translations and then, you know, making a decision for myself. But now here, I am reciting to you the translation that I have decided after consulting a few translations. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ. And indeed we bestowed wisdom on Luqman. أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. So that he may be thankful to Allah. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. And whoever gives his thanks, he does so for the benefit of his own self. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. And whosoever conceals his thanks, then he ought to know that Allah is self-sufficient, always being praised. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ. And remember the time when Luqman said to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ. While he was admonishing him, Ya Bunayya La Tushrik Billah. O my little son, never ascribe or associate any partner or equal to Allah. Inna Shirka La Zulmun Azeem. Indeed, ascribing or associating partners or equals with Allah is a great injustice. وَوَسَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. And surely, we have ourselves enjoined upon man regarding his parents. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَابَيْنِ. His mother carried him in her womb, bearing weakness upon weakness, and his weaning takes 2 years. أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكُ. So be grateful to me as well as your parents. إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. To me is the eventual return. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. But if they compel you to associate or ascribe with me of which you have no knowledge or proof, then don't obey them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But keep their company in this world with kindness. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ. And follow the path of those only who have turned towards me. ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. In the end, unto me you all will have to return, and then I shall apprise you all what you had been doing. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ. Oh my dear little son, any evil or good deed, even though it might have the weight of a grain of mustard, and then even if it might be hidden inside any rock or in the skies or in the earth, Allah will surely bring it forth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah is the most subtile or sublime and aware of everything. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. O my dear little son, keep the prayers established, enjoin whatever is good or right, and forbid whatever is evil or wrong, and then bear with fortitude whatever may befall you. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Indeed, these are among things worthy of firmness and resolution. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ بَرَحًا. And do not turn your cheek away from the people in scorn or pride. And do not walk haughtily on earth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. For Allah does not like anyone who is self-conceited and boastful. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَغْضُبْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Be modest in your gait or bearing, and keep your voice low. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَبِيرِ. Verily, the most unpleasant of all the voices is the braying of the ass. Now incidentally, as we had four preliminary points about Surah Al-Asr, the same four preliminary points about Ayat Al-Birr, here again I have four points to discuss, and actually that will give us the tazakkur, the real lesson that is contained in this passage of the Qur'an. First of all, this is the first ruku of Qur'an that we are studying. The first lesson was one surah, Surah Al-Asr. The other lesson consisted of one ayah, Ayat Al-Birr. And this is ruku, comprising of eight ayat. I told you in the beginning, in the introductory lecture, that this ruku, it is not tawqifi. This term was not used in the days of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. The division of bigger surahs into rukus, that was done nearly in the end of the first century of Hijrah. And it is commonly said that it was done by Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, the famous governor of Kufa. He did it. So it is not taqifi. It is ijtihadi. People have themselves decided. And the purpose was that the longer surahs should be divided into smaller portions, so that in one rakah of salah, that portion should be read and recited, so that one subject becomes complete. It shouldn't be that that subject is continuing, and the imam says Allahu Akbar, and you go to ruku. So it breaks the continuity of the passage. So that was actually the purpose for which these bigger surahs of the Qur'an have been divided into rukus. There are 36 surahs of the Qur'an which consist of one ruku only. Surah Al-Fatiha in the beginning, and then 35 out of the total 37 surahs of the last part. These have only one ruku. They can be read very easily in one rakah of the prayer. There are about 22 having two rukus, 10 having three, and so on. And then we have one Surah Al-Baqarah having 40 rukus. That is the biggest surah, the largest surah of the Qur'an. Now if you compare this with paras, the sea para, which we call in Persian, pars, ajza, juz, we call in Arabic. So actually, that is also a later addition to the division of the Qur'an. But here in rukus we find that mostly they seem to be very appropriate. It seems that people have taken pain to decide that here should be the mark for the ruku. One discussion is complete and the other is going to start. So here there can be a ruku and a rakah can end here. But there can be difference of opinion because it is not taqifi. It has not been settled by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba. So you can have a difference of opinion. It's better to have the ruku here, not here. So there's no harm in having any difference regarding this enumeration of these rukus. But the surahs, the ayat, they are fixed because they are tawqifi. They were fixed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the instructions of Allah himself. Now this, you know, Mudamma'ul Malik Fahd. It's a big foundation that Saudi Arabia has started for the publishing of Quran. And they have adopted another terminology. They are using these ajza, these parts. But they have improved, they have changed, so that the surahs are taken completely in one part. And secondly, they have divided each part of Quran into 8 sections, and they are nearly equal. So these things, they are permissible, they can be done, because they were not fixed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I told you. And this, there can be different enumeration systems, and that's all. Now we come to the second point. Let us compare the contents of this passage, this ruku of Surah Al-Luqman, with Surah Al-Asr. Regarding Iman, as I have translated the whole passage, you must have noted, what do we have in this passage, in this ruku about Iman? Number one, the term Iman doesn't appear in this ruku. There's nowhere Iman. The word Iman has not been used in the whole ruku. And it's not without any reason. The reason is there, but I'll discuss it later on. But what we find out of the articles of faith, articles of Iman, that you must stick to Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must refrain from shirk, making any shirk, assigning or ascribing any partner equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you find the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 4 of the attributes have been mentioned here. Ghani, Hamid, Latif, Khabir. Ghani, who is self-sufficient, who needs nothing from anybody, absolutely self-sufficient. Hamid, who is praiseworthy and who is being praised, whether you praise him or not, he is being praised all the time. He is Hamid. Then he is Latif. He is very sublime and very subtle. He knows all the subtleties, anything, howsoever small it might be, he can see, he can know them. Khabir, he is aware of everything. So 4 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find in this passage a mention that the actions and deeds of men, they will not go unrewarded, howsoever small they might be. إِن تَكُ مِسْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ. Any good deed or bad deed or evil deed, it might be of the weight of a grain of mustard. And it can be anywhere, it might be anywhere, within some rock in the skies, down somewhere in the heart of the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it. It will have to be accounted. So these are the things about Iman that we have just listened during the translation of this ruku. What about the good deeds? Al-amal us-salih. We have thanked Allah. And be thankful to your parents. Be kind to your parents. Even if they are mushrik, even if they are kafir, even if they are compelling you to commit shirk and kufr, you have not to obey them. But even then, you have to be kind to them. You have to give them their rights. Very important. Then, salah, aqimis salah. That is one of the amal salihah mentioned here. Then the humility. There should not be self-conceitedness, self-deceitful in man, arrogance, haughtiness. No, you should have humility. Then kindness and, you know, a sort of average behavior. Don't go to extremes. So this is regarding the amal salihah. Then we have an absolutely new term about tawasi bil haqq. Amr bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar. Wa amr bil ma'roof, wa nahi anil munkar. Enjoin whatever is correct, whatever is right, whatever is just, whatever is real, and forbid others from whatever is wrong, whatever is unjust, whatever is exploiting, whatever is false. So actually, Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar. And now this becomes a very big term of the Quran, because later we shall see that the main purpose of the organization of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin nas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. That this ummah should never be without at least one group which must be performing this function. Wal takum minkum ummatun yad'una ilal khayr wa ya'muruna bil ma'ruf wa yanhauna 'anil munkar wa ulaika humul muflihun. So actually the basis of that very important term of Quran we find here in this ruku. Then what about sabr? The last thing mentioned in Surah Al-Asr, وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. Here again we find وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا صَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. These things need courage. You have to make a firm resolve. Prepare yourself. Gird up your loins. If you want to take to this high mission of enjoining others to whatever is right and forbidding others from whatever is wrong, then you will have to take all that befalls you with perseverance, steadfastness, patience and fortitude. So you see that the same message, the same prescription for salvation which we found in Surah Al-Asr, again repeated in Ayat Al-Birr, and here again we have found the same four things in these eight ayat which comprise the second section of Surah Al-Luqman. Now what's the third point? What's the subject of this ruku, this passage? And that is very important. Fundamentals of the wisdom of the Quran and the affirmation and demonstration of the fact that the basic teachings of the Quran are in total conformity with the nature of man. Hikmah. Actually, this is something very big, very important. What is hikmah? How is it different from philosophy? These are two different terms. Philosophy and wisdom. Because you must be knowing that these two terms are used in the field of philosophy also. Philosophy, some people are called to be philosophers. Some others are called sages. What's the difference between a philosopher and a sage? A hell of difference. And the same difference we shall discuss inshallah. But the difference between pure philosophy, pure reasoning, and the hikmah, the wisdom, and that wisdom of Quran, it has certain foundations, certain basic principles from which that wisdom emerges and is built into a whole system. And that is actually what we'll find in this ruku. But this we will discuss inshallah later on. The fourth point is that the background in Ayat al-Birr was an incident. The changing of the direction of the Qibla. That was in the background. That was the shan-e-nuzul, sabab-ul-nuzul. Here in the background of this passage of the Quran is a person. And he is Hazrat-e-Luqman. And now I must introduce you to the person who he was. There are two opinions about Hazrat Luqman. One opinion which is more held by the historians, Muhammad Ishaq, Muhammad Ibn Ishaq, he also has this opinion. Then Maulana Sayyid Sulaiman Nadvi, he also holds this opinion. Maulana Hizur Rahman Soharvi, he also holds this opinion. This, according to this opinion, in the ancient Arab nations, which they call Al-Arab al-Ba'idah, the nations which lived sometimes in Arabia, now they have been finished. No traces have been left. The nation of Aad and Samud. Hazrat Hud alayhi salam was sent towards Aad. Hazrat Saleh alayhi salam was sent towards Samud. So they are called Ba'idah. The nations which have now disappeared, no remnant now remain of these nations. In the Arab of Ba'idah, there was a Luqman ibn Aad who was king after Shaddad, the famous king, Shaddad. After him there was a king, and he was Luqman, and he was a very wise person. This is one opinion. Second opinion is that when there was punishment which came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the whole nation of Aad, and it was destroyed, and only few people who believed in Hazrat Hud alayhi salatu wassalam, they were saved, and then they migrated to the northwestern area of Arabian Peninsula, and then they came up with a new nation, new culture, new civilization of Samud. So there was a king in that Samud, and he had the name of Luqman. These are two opinions which are held by some historians. But the other opinion, which I agree, and supporting which there are ahadith, there are aqwal, there are the sayings of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then so many of the tabi'een, Sa'id ibn Musayyab, Mujahid, Ikrama, they hold this opinion. And this is actually the opinion that I agree. And according to this opinion, he was an Abyssinian, a Habashi, Hazrat Luqman. And he belonged to an area or a tribe which was called Nubia. And this was somewhere in between Egypt of today and Sudan of today and Abyssinia. Some, just as you have Kurdistan between Iraq and Iran and Turkey, in the same way there was a region of Nubia between these three countries. He belonged to this region. He was black by his skin, very thick lips, an ugly person to look, a carpenter by profession, but a very wise person. Now this is the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives something to someone he likes. So he was a very wise person, and his sayings were quoted as quotable quotes by the poets and the orators of Arabia. Just as we in Pakistan and India, we quote Allama Iqbal as an authority. Allama Iqbal has said so. In the same way, his sayings were quoted in the poetry. For example, Ibrahim Qais, the king of the poets of Arabia, he quotes him. Hazrat Labid, radiallahu anhu, he was the last of the celebrated poets of that, you know, seven poets celebrated of Sabah Muallaqa, and he embraced Islam, Hazrat Labid. He also quoted him, Hazrat Luqman, in his poetry. And Asha and Tarafa, they are famous poets of the days of Jahiliyyah. They used to quote Hazrat Luqman in their ashar, in their poetry. And in the same way, the big orators of Arabia, they used to quote him. Now, there is near consensus that he was not a Nabi, nor he was the follower of a Nabi. And that is the most important point. Although there is a very Shah's call, very strange opinion, single opinion, from Hazrat Ikrama that he was Nabi. But he is alone in this opinion. Mostly people agree that he was not a Nabi, nor he was the follower of a Nabi. And I believe in it firmly, and I will prove it, because there is the internal evidence in this very passage that he was not a Nabi. But about that also I will talk later on. Now, here lies the point. A person who is not Nabi himself, nor he is the follower of a Nabi, he can reach by dint of his own reasoning, his own thinking, and under the guidance of his own human nature, he can reach the basic teachings of our deen, of Islam. That is the point which is most important about this third lesson of this selected course of study. That actually whatever Quran is calling us to believe, and whatever our deen is teaching us, is something absolutely in conformity with our nature. Our own nature, our own logic, our own understanding, our own reasoning testifies to these things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in His book and in His Sharia and His deen. And actually this is a big example that a person who was neither a Nabi nor the follower of a Nabi and he could and he did reach the same conclusions after thinking independently while he was taking the guidance of his nature. There is an incident that 3 years before Hijrah, a person came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Medina. His name was Suhaid ibn Samit. And he said that I have with me something, some very good teachings. He had the Sahifa of Luqman with him. And he said, I have something, I want to read it to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, okay, I'm ready to listen. He read out that Sahifa of Luqman to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, it's very good, but I have something else. Let me present it to you. And then the Prophet read out ayat of Quran to Suhaid ibn Samit. And he said, surely, this is a higher level Kalam. This is definitely much better than the Sahifa of Luqman. Then he returned. But very soon he died in a battle. It is not proved whether he embraced Islam or not. So now this is Hazrat Luqman. And now we start with the study of this ruku word by word. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. And we had bestowed wisdom upon Luqman. Now the word is anishkur. And I have translated, and some others have also translated, so that he should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is something to be pondered very deeply. What is shukr? Because this is one of the fundamental terminology of basic philosophy of Quran. What is shukr? Actually this shukr, this faculty of being thankful to someone who does some good to you. If you are in some need and somebody has provided you, if you are hungry, somebody has fed you, if you are thirsty, somebody has brought water for you. If you are ill, somebody has arranged some medicine for you. But if someone has done something good to you, a peculiar sentiment should emerge from the depths of your heart. The gratefulness. You should be thankful. And this, if it is emerging from the depths of your heart, it's a sign that your nature is healthy. And if it's not, it is a pathology that your nature has been perverted. This is the litmus test of the health or otherwise of the nature of a person. If somebody does good to you, and you feel those ihsasat, those feelings, special feelings of gratitude, then your nature is healthy. And if there is no sense of gratitude, somebody has done good to you, and you have no such feelings emerging from the depths of your heart, it means that your nature has been perverted. In a well, water comes from here and there, and you collect there, and then you take out the water. But if the water is not coming there, you can't take it out. So just like this shukr, the Arabs say, Ainun shakra. When in some fountain the water is sprouting out, it is Ainun shakra. In the same way, if you feed a hungry animal, if some animal, it was thirsty, you put before it some water, it quenched its thirst, and then when it will lift its neck, you will find those feelings in the eyes of that animal. Be it the cow or the goat or the sheep, that thankfulness would be there. So actually this is fitrah, this is nature. If the nature is healthy, okay, there must be thankfulness. Now the function of logic, function of aql is to know your benevolent. Who is doing good to you? Who has done good to you? You must know it. For example, people in the old days, they knew that fire, that is very beneficial because it is cooking for them their meals. So they thought, it's some goddess of fire. because it is beneficial to us. Water. Water is quenching our thirst. It must be a god. Jal Devta. It is a god because it is doing good to me. Sun. With the heat of the sun, our harvest, they are ripe. So it is God. It is providing us. It is fulfilling our needs. So actually, whosoever you find is doing some good for you, you have a reverence for it. You try to thank it. And if it is too high, you cannot repay it, then you just bow your head before it. You have hymns for the praise, for the sun, for the moon. These are the gods and the goddesses and everything, all the phenomena of the nature. This is the most primitive religion you will find in people in Africa, people in the Amazon Tas living in South America. Whom do they worship? Nature worship. Why? Because they feel that it's the nature which feeds us. It's the nature which sustains us. These things are doing the needful for us. So now they are thankful to them, and when they are thankful to them, and this is also a nature of man, that if somebody has done good to you, you want to do some good in response, in reply. Actually, but you can't thank sun. How will you thank the sun? Only bow your head before the sun and you start worshipping sun. Now, it will be the zenith and climax of human reasoning, where human being is going steadily, progressing in that direction. Now we have come to know that sun has nothing. It has no determination or will of its own. All these things, they are actually humble servants in a system. There is someone who is controlling this system. There is someone else who created them all. So be thankful to him, not to the sun. Bow your heads to him, not to the sun. Prostrate yourself before him, not before the moon. Don't be thankful to water, but to that Allah who has created water. So that is actually when you reach from shukr to tawheed. Nature will give you the faculty of shukr. Whosoever has done good for you, you must be thankful. But you must know who is your muhsin, who is doing the needful for you, who is providing you. And it is the aql, it is the intelligence, it's the understanding, by which you know that these things have nothing of their own, no will of their own, no decision of their own, but they are actually themselves controlled by some other power. And that power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be thankful to him. That is actually which has been given in this ayah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. And we gave and we bestowed upon Luqman the wisdom. This wisdom, that he should know whom he should thank, whom he should be thankful. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. That is why you know this hamd, that is the beginning of Surah Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to Allah, who is the sustainer of all the worlds. And that was the actually final jump that Abraham took when he said, once he said, well, this is a star, it seems, that perhaps it's the God. It's very shining. Then he saw the moon. Oh, this is more shining, a bigger one. Maybe that this is the God. Then the sun. Oh, this is the biggest. Maybe that it is the sun. But then when the sun also set, what did he say? Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lillazi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa wama ana minal mushrikeen. Now I have turned my face towards him, who has created all these things. These are creatures. They have been created. They set. They rise and then set. And I am not going to worship them. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lillazi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa wama ana minal mushrikeen. I am not going to ascribe or associate any partner now with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be obeying him. I will be worshipping him. I have turned my face towards him. And I am absolutely, so to say, hanif. Absolutely, I have fixed my gray gaze on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the beginning of the wisdom of the Quran. This is the beginning of the reasoning of the philosophical system of Quran. Shukr and shukr for Allah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whosoever expresses his thanks, he does it for the benefit of his own self. Because actually your personality will develop in the correct direction if you are paying thanks to whom you should pay. Imam Raghib Rahmatullah Alayh has divided this shukr into three parts. Number one, shukr bil qalb. You should have the understanding that someone has done some good to you. You must be able to evaluate the good. For example, if to a child a person gives a very precious stone, a very precious pearl, but he doesn't know that it is very precious. Maybe that he thinks it's a piece of glass. But if somebody understands what's the value of this thing that has been given to him, then his shukr will be proportionate. So shukr bil qalb is to have the correct understanding of what a good someone has done to you, what a precious thing he has given to you. This should be the shukr bil qalb. Then shukr bil lisan. Then you have to say thanks. And you find in the ahadith how many prayers are for shukr. Alhamdulillahi allazi ahyani ba'da ma amatani wa ilayhi an-nushur. When a Muslim gets up in the morning, he opens his eyes, and the first thing that he should do is thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise and thank be to Allah who has given me another day of life. I was nearly dead, but he has actually resurrected me. Ahyani ba'da ma amatani wa ilayhi an-nushur. And this thing will happen again one day when I will be dead. And then I'll be resurrected from my grave and I'll return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever you eat, Alhamdulillahi allazi at'amani wa saqani wa ja'alani min al-muslimin. All praise, all thanks be to Allah who has fed me, who has given me water to drink, and who has drenched my thirst, and who has made me from among the Muslims. Everything that is coming to you, be thoughtful and be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. Hammadun, and this shukr, you know, that actually this is the basis of the wisdom of Quran and the wisdom of Islam. And here Allah subhanahu says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ النَّفْسِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. It's very important. The word kafara here is opposed to shukr. Actually, we are more accustomed to kufr as against Islam or Iman. That is the legal kufr. The real literal meaning of kufr is to conceal something. And in the same way we have the word kaffara. You have committed some mistake. What's kaffara? Kaffara will do away with the effects of that sin. This is kaffara. So actually kufr means to conceal something, to eliminate something. So actually in nature, if it is correct nature, if it is healthy nature, something good has been done to you, there will be a feeling of thankfulness coming from the depths of your heart. But if you conceal it, it is kufr. So it is, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Here kufr is not in the legal sense of kufr, that who doesn't believe in Allah or who doesn't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. It is as opposed to shukr. There is another ayah, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. If you are thankful to what I have given to you, then I'll give you more. But if you are thankless, punishment is also very great. So thankfulness is shukr. And thanklessness is kufr. That is the basis, literary basis, literal meaning of kufr is actually to conceal something, to suppress something. And in that sense, this word has appeared in this ayah. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Because if you are expressing your thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then actually Allah will give you more. Allah will raise you high in understanding, in intelligence, in knowledge, in purification of your heart and soul. But if you are thankless, then إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Then you should know Allah doesn't need any praise or thanks. If you are thanking, you are thanking for the benefit of your own selves. You will benefit from it. your personality will develop in the right direction, on the right lines. But if you become thankless, then Allah doesn't care. Allah doesn't need your thanks. He is ghani. He is all sufficient in himself. He doesn't care for anybody. He doesn't need anything from anybody. He doesn't need any praise, any thanks. Actually, if you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is to your own benefit. Actually, that is the meaning of this ayah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. What's the meaning of Hamid? Hamid actually, fa'il, bar wazne fa'il. This is wazn of Hamid. It has two meanings. Fa'il also, maf'ul also. From Mahmud, Hamid, who is being praised all the time. And from Fa'il Hamid, who is praising all the time. So here, surely, this word can be applicable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only in the maf'ul, in the objective form. And that is, He is being praised. Whether you praise Him or not, you do His hamd or not, you thank Him or not, He is being praised every moment, every time, all the time. He need not have any praise from you. It won't increase, you know, His kingdom. He is all-powerful already. He is fully self-sufficient. I think we have to confine ourselves today to the first ayah, because now the second ayah, that will take us from us much time. Although actually, the exact subject of that ayah I discussed on my last visit. Because the second ayah, that says, وَإِسْقَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِزُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. All that we can do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we should not at least ascribe or associate any partner with Him. What else can we do for Him? It's natural that if somebody has done some good to you, you must also in return do some good to him. But what good could you do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nothing. Except, at least don't be cruel to him. Don't let him down at least. Don't associate partners. Don't ascribe equals to him. This is the biggest insult that you make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ. When Luqman, he was giving his advice, and departing advice, most of the Mufassirs agree that this is the advice that he gave to his son while he was dying at the deathbed. And he gave his son all that he had with him, the results of his thinking and brooding throughout the whole life, that he was transferring to his son. Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. Oh my dear little son, although the son was not little at that time, but for a father, a son is always little and small. So actually, it's a way of addressing with love and affection. Oh, my dear little son, don't ascribe or don't associate anyone or anything as partner with Allah or as equal to Allah. This is shirk. Inna shirka la zulmun azeem. This shirk, this assigning or associating equals or partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the biggest injustice. And I have used the word, this is the biggest insult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here the word is zulmun azim, injustice. Actually, because He is alone, He is unique in every respect. Nobody is like Him, nothing equal to Him. I spoke for about 2 hours, and that is now, the record is present in the video and audio, both forms, about these various types of shirk during my visit. Usually, during this selected course of study, I do add this lecture, additional lecture, the types of and different kinds of shirk we should understand, so that we should be able to refrain from all types of shirk. Because it's just possible if you don't know all the forms of shirk, maybe you are refraining from some forms, but you are indulging unknowingly in some other form of shirk. So there should be a very comprehensive view of shirk before us. We should understand it. All aspects of shirk. Shirk fi zat, shirk fi sifat, shirk fi huquq, shirk fi ibadah. And Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, has used the terms shirk fi aqidah and shirk fi talab. So there are different forms of shirk, but we must have a full understanding of that. That we, I told you, I have discussed in full length in 2 hours lecture, and I am not going to repeat it here. And now I proceed further. And that is, وَوَسَّيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We have advised man regarding his parents. What is that advice? أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. I am omitting the intervening verse. I will come to them later. What is the advice? أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. The same word shukr is coming here. Be thankful to me and your parents. Because I am the creator, I am the sustainer, I am the provider. But you were born of your mother, your parents. They looked after you. They sacrificed their rest and everything for your sake. They tightened their belts to feed you. They had to spend nights because awake without any sleep because you were sick, you were ill. So you have to thank them. And I told you, this is the sequence. When there is the question of obedience, obedience to Allah, obedience to Rasul, to the Messenger of Allah. The second obedience is to Allah. But when there is question of rights, then shukr, then from Allah directly to the parents. Anishkur li wale walidayk. Because they have the biggest right after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the creator, He is the sustainer really, He is the provider really. But actually too, in this world, because your parents have taken pains for you, so you owe a lot to them. Anishkur li wale walidayk. But now, out of the parents, the mother has been emphasized 3 times more. This figure 3 I am giving you from a hadith. Here only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned specially the mother, not the father at all. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ. His mother carried her in her womb, although she was feeling weakness, over weakness. You know, as pregnancy proceeds, the woman, the mother, is having weakness because that embryo is feeding on the blood of the mother. So actually, her energy is being sapped and sucked from within by the embryo, which is developing in her womb. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ. And then, for 2 years, she suckled her or him, the baby. Her energy, that was becoming food for the baby. So that is why the rights of mother as compared to the rights of the father are much greater on the children, on the offsprings. And the comparison has been given by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith. A young sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked, who has the right of my good service and behavior? Who has the maximum rights, first and foremost? The Prophet replied, your mother. He asked again, after her whom? The reply again was, your mother. He asked again, after her whom? For the 3rd time again the Prophet replied, your mother. And when for the 4th time he asked, after her whom? Your father. So that way it can be said that the rights of the mother over the children are 3 times more than the rights of the father. And here also we find that although in the beginning both parents are mentioned, وَوَسَّيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. والدي, his parents, both mother and father. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَىٰ وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Now the same word is being repeated here. And I should quote another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Whosoever is not thankful to the people, he will never be thankful to Allah also. Because if that faculty is not there, he is thankless. That nature has been perverted. He will never be able to thank Allah nor to the people who are doing any good to them, good to him. But if that faculty is there, if the water is present in the well, everybody would be able to fetch water and to have water from the well. So if the well is there and water is there, If there is shukr in present in the depth of your personality and heart, then you will be thanking Allah also, and you will be thanking the humans also, people also, who are doing anything good for you. Maybe they are your parents, maybe he is your teacher, or someone else who has done something good to you. So here, now the question arises, it's absolutely mathematical. If these two rights confront each other, Allah says, don't commit shirk with me. Number one. Allah also says, be thankful to your parents. وَوَسَّيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. And now the parents are compelling you to commit shirk. What to do? That was the situation obtaining in Makkah. People who were embracing Islam, who were saying shahada at the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were grown-ups also, but there were teenagers also. We have Musab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a teenager. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a teenager. So many. Now there was a problem. The parents were demanding, we have the rights over you. We have brought you up. You were born of us. You owe your existence to us. We have been feeding you. We have been looking after you. And now you are disobeying us. We command you to remain in the fold of the religion of your forefathers. Be with us. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّبِعُوا سَبِيلَنَا وَلْنَحْمِلْ خَطَايَاكُمْ وَمَا هُمْ بِحَامِلِينَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Sometimes they used to say, you follow us, keep on following us. And if it is wrong, we shall be responsible on the day of judgment. We shall be responsible on your behalf also. We shall take the burden of your shoulders. We shall take the burden of your sins, if it is a sin. But you have to follow our path. So there was a great problem for the youth. Now naturally, these youth, these young people who had embraced Islam at this age of teenager, you know, that stage of teenager, how good-natured they would have been, we can imagine. And when they were good-natured, they had to respect their parents also. The mother of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, father had died. The mother, a widow, had raised the son with the best of the care possible. Now that mother said that if Sa'd doesn't return to the fold of the deen of his father, I will not eat anything, I will not drink anything, I'll kill myself. Now what was the testing and what was the situation? How testing was the test situation for Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas? What to do? She is killing herself. So here the clear injunction came. The rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain supreme. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Don't obey both of them. You have to obey me. Rights of Allah will remain supreme. But don't think that all their rights are gone, multiplied by zero. No. Don't obey in this respect, but give them company in this world with the kindness. Be gentle to them. Don't speak harshly to them. Don't obey them, but you have to show respect to them. You have to look after them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Just look to it. This type of balanced education or instruction can come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. You have to disobey, but in this respect, if they compel you to commit shirk with me, otherwise, be kind to them, look after them, spend on them. All their rights will remain intact. Except that you don't obey them when they compel you to make shirk with us. We shall continue this discussion tomorrow, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمين.